PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehon.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome again to another edition, of course, of your program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio International. Very nice to have you with us for this, the 15th of July, 2018. Yes, the 15th of July, midway through the month. Well, as you're probably aware, last week on the program, I was telling you that we had a typhoon that was coming towards our area, Typhoon Maria. And it wasn't really what we were expecting. Of course, there were areas of northern Taiwan that got hit with a lot more rain and a lot more wind than we did here. But nevertheless, it still was kind of nasty. Where it was a little bit funny because this was on Tuesday. There were a few trees that were down, but nothing really too disastrous. And then, of course, when the typhoon passed on the Wednesday, there was decisions that were made by different districts to whether or not have a two-day typhoon holiday. Now, PCJ Radio International is located in Taipei, or rather, I should say, New Taipei City, which is a new area that was created a number of years ago. Previously, for example, we're in Banqiao District, and then there's Yonghe District, and Xinzhuang District, and so on and so on. Now, how it worked was at one time, for example, Banqiao had a different mayor from Zhonghe and Yonghe. Zhonghe and Yonghe, I know they sound the same, but they're two different areas, and Xinzhuang also had their own mayor. What they decided to do was take all these smaller areas and make one super area and actually have one mayor, which actually made a lot of sense because previously, instead of having one mayor, like we do now, for all these different areas, there were like 15 or something, and 15 different police departments, and so on and so on. So it was a little bit silly. So we're in New Taipei City, and just across the river, which if you walk across the bridge will take maybe 10 minutes, is Taipei City. So on Tuesday evening, very early Wednesday morning, cities in northern Taiwan were deciding whether or not to also make Wednesday a typhoon day. So Taipei City, the main city, the capital, didn't have a typhoon holiday. It was just an ordinary work day. But then just crossing across the bridge to the other side, to New Taipei City, it was. Which caused a lot of confusion and a lot of arguments between the two different mayors because, well, they're really kind of close to each other. So what happened then was in Taipei, a lot of businesses still, well, there was very little traffic because a lot of people worked in New Taipei. It got a little bit confusing. But the decision to do this was a whole different, well, there was actually a reason behind the madness, shall we say, which I don't want to get into on the program here because it is complicated, but let's just say the decision itself was political, because we do have a mayor race coming up very soon, and if you go online and just put 2018-2019 municipal and midterm elections, you'll find out exactly what's going on. But I didn't mind anyway, because I just took the day off anyway, so kind of a very short week, shall we say. Very short week indeed. Except as of the recording of this program, which is a Friday, just have a few things to finish before I begin the weekend. But no, actually, I can't begin the weekend because I have something else that I have to work on Saturday and Sunday. But that doesn't matter. Anyway, it's nice to have you with us either way. Now, on today's program, well, actually, let's begin with music, and then I'll tell you what we actually have coming up in the next few weeks, because there are a few things that we do need to get out of the way. But let's begin today's program with Andy Williams and a song that was a big hit for him, as well as Petula Clark. It's a song that was composed by James Last, and it's called Happy Heart.
There's a certain sound always follows me around. When you're close to me, you will hear it. It's the sound that lovers hear when they discover there could be no other for their love. It's my
Andy Williams and Happy Heart, beginning today's edition of Happy Station for the 15th of July, 2018. Now, we are the 15th of July, and beginning next week, actually I'm going on holiday, and I'm actually going to be holidaying and working in the Pacific on a few things. So we actually have a slightly different schedule, and I'll explain what it is. Now, next week's program will be a regular program, but then there's 2 weeks of Happy Station shows that are going to be pre-recorded. Well, they're already actually in the can, as they would say at one time. So the program, the 29th of July, is the July anniversary special for our 90th anniversary, which has been pre-recorded. And then the program of August 5th has also been pre-recorded as well. We are, of course, in our summer series. We have something very special coming up, actually, for that, for the other summer series programs this year. And some of them have been recommendations from listeners over the years saying it would be nice if you could run blah, blah, blah. Some of the things actually have taken us a time to locate, which is the reason why that maybe it was something that an idea that somebody gave us 2 years ago, and we're only getting to it now. But nevertheless, we are going to do that. So it should be a lot of fun. That's the only thing I'm going to say on that. And it was something actually we only found last week, and it was a recommendation from about 2 years ago. Yeah. Now, on today's program, we're going to be bringing you part 4 of our continuing docudrama series, Tales of Dutch Formosa. Tales of Dutch Formosa, the final part on today's program. But first, let's have now a little bit more music. Matt Monro and Yesterday.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know. She wouldn't say. I said something wrong. Now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know. She wouldn't say. I said something wrong. Now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Yes, I believe in yesterday. How I long for yesterday.
Matt Monro and Yesterday. We now bring you our continuing summer series special, Tales of Dutch Formosa, Part 4.
Tales of Dutch Formosa. Part 3, Pax Hollandia. The year is 1649, and 24 years after the Dutch first settled in Formosa, their colony at Zeelandia is thriving. Trade continues to prosper, and 300 villages now recognize Dutch rule. Meanwhile, supported by the VOC, the missionaries of the Dutch Reformed Church have opened 9 schools, from Pangsoya in the south to Faverolong in the north. And the Aboriginal population embraces Christianity in ever-increasing numbers. Tales of these successes are carried back to the Netherlands. From here, the good news spreads across Europe and inspires fellow Protestants in many lands. Now in London, the Reverend Jessai addresses his flock from the pulpit of St. Andrew's Church.
Brothers and sisters, it is my greatest wish that the earth may be so filled with the knowledge of God that all his people may be one, that all differences and envy among them may be removed far away, and that the savages and heathens who dwell in the forsaken places of the earth might cast aside their idols and enter into the house of the Lord. Therefore, with what great joy to my spirit I have lately heard from Mr. Edward Cresset that some thousands of East Indians have been converted to the true faith by a Dutch minister, the Reverend Robert Junius, who lived amongst them. The Reverend Junius writes that 5,900 savages on the Isle of Formosa, near China, now profess the true God and have been baptized into the true church through Jesus Christ. Joyful tidings, brothers and sisters! We live in joyful times, and these are joyful omens. And I entreat you, lift up your hearts in praise and thanks as I offer earnest prayers to God, who smiles upon us now and aids us in our struggles, that one day soon we shall succeed in building here on earth a new Jerusalem through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Outside the church after the service, Reverend Jessai is congratulated by Lady Mayerne.
What a wonderful sermon, Reverend Jessai.
Thank you, Lady Mayerne. You're very kind.
Quite inspirational. Of course, the Dutch are supposed to be our enemies, but when it comes to the Lord's work, one would so like to help.
Perhaps you can help, my lady. I wonder if you've met Mrs. Cresset.
I don't believe I have.
Then please allow me to introduce you. Mrs. Cresset? Mrs. Cresset is wife to Edward Cresset, the Dutch printer who brought us word of Reverend Junius's successes in Formosa.
Good day, Reverend Jessai. Ma'am. Good day, Mrs. Cresset.
Mrs. Cresset, this is Lady Mayerne, wife of the King's personal physician, Sir Theodore Mayerne.
It's an honour, m'lady. I take it you are recently arrived in England, Mrs. Cresset?
Oh, yes, ma'am, from Delft. Now we reside in Chelsea.
And England is to your liking, I hope?
Oh, very much so, ma'am. In Delft we were persecuted for our religious beliefs.
How shocking!
Yes, ma'am. Of course it's hard to leave one's own country, but the English Protestants have been very kind, and Reverend Jessai is helping Edward, that's Mr. Cresset, ma'am, to set up a new printing press, especially for the members of the House of Commons. We also hope to print an English translation of Reverend Junius's book.
Very commendable. Is the book written in Dutch?
In Latin, Lady Mayerne. I helped with the translation myself.
I see. And do you know Reverend Junius personally, Mrs. Cresset?
Oh, yes, ma'am. A wonderful man. He had many talks with my husband about building a small printing press to send out to the schools in Formosa.
A printing press? Surely the savages there would do better first to learn to read and write.
Oh, yes, my lady. That's what the press would be for, to print schoolbooks to help them study.
And why not simply send the books from here?
Well, madam, the VOC, that's the Dutch Trading Company, ma'am, does send books from Holland and clothes and shoes for the children too, but the missionaries still need to print books in the savages' own language.
But, Mrs. Cresset, I've heard that the VOC is doing very well, and if, as you say, they are already sending books and clothing, can they not afford to supply the schools with everything that they need?
Alas, ma'am, Reverend Junius told us that the VOC governors in Amsterdam turned down his request to buy a printing press. In fact, it seems they're no longer even willing to send new missionaries. Reverend Junius himself is training a young man to continue his work in Formosa, but he will have to send him there at his own expense.
I fear the VOC governors make a grave mistake. This is very short-sighted of them.
I agree, Lady Mayerne. What an opportunity they're in danger of losing. The time is nigh when we may look for the savages of the earth to enter into the heavenly kingdom. Oh, to be a missionary! What more noble calling! and to see the many wonders of God's creation. Oh, if I were 10 years younger...
Sir, you have persuaded me. Very well, Mrs. Cresset. I would rather send a printing press and money than risk losing our own Reverend Jessie. I will speak to my husband and see what can be done.
1 year later, in the library at Castle Zealandia, Reverends Daniel Gravius and Jacob Vertrecht are sorting a huge shipment of school supplies just arrived from Batavia. But they are disappointed to find that there is no printing press.
Never mind, Daniel. We may not have the press we hoped for, but look, 5,000 copies of the little ABC primers in the Dutch language. Thanks be to God and the Governor-General in Batavia.
Amen, Jacob. With these books, we can at least instill a true Protestant spirit in the young people, that is, to seek more knowledge on their own.
And look here, 2,000 copies of the Catechism.
From Reverend Junius, no doubt. Ah, yes, it's the same old catechism that Robert used to use.
Then we'll have to ask Hans Orlhoff to write in the revisions left by Reverend Happert. Reverend Junius may have had some success when he was here, but his day is over, and now that he is back in the Fatherland, I do not appreciate his meddling in our work.
It was Junius who promised us the printing press. He said that he had found supporters in England, people very close to King Charles I himself. Of course, now that King Charles is dead...
Daniel, the company would never have permitted the English to help us. Their merchants sabotage our trade at every opportunity. This was probably just another of their tricks.
How can a printing press be a trick?
It's better anyway that the Aborigines learn to speak Dutch. I've been talking with Governor Overdwater, and he agrees that as long as there aren't enough properly trained teachers who are fluent in the native languages, then it's better for everyone if the lessons are taught in Dutch.
And that's another thing I don't understand. How are we supposed to do our work here if the company refuses to send us more missionaries?
Oh, Daniel, you're being unfair. Of course I can't deny that there's a shortage of good instructors. But now that the company is letting their soldiers volunteer for teaching duties...
We need educated men, Jacob, not the dregs of that rabble. You know yourself how many of our soldiers are worse than the natives. I'm sure the governor...
Shh, best not to speak so loudly, Daniel. You may be right. I've heard myself that Governor Overdrater has his doubts about these policies. But Cornelius Caesar, the new chief merchant, is a company man through and through. And by all accounts, he doesn't like to have his orders questioned. Take my advice and hold your tongue. Meanwhile, with God's help, let us do what good we can.
Very well. Then first we should portion out these books to the schools. These should go to teacher Hans Orlhoff in Pansoia in the south. And these can be delivered to the new teacher, Mr. Antonius Hamburg in Tavakken. And Jacob... Do you think these 500 copies of The Mirror of Youth will be popular with the older orphans sent here from Batavia?
Yes, they should be. And don't forget, there's paper and quills and trunks of school clothes still in the VOSA warehouse. Courage, Daniel. I'm sure everything will turn out for the best.
I hope you're right, my friend. And I hope this new plan to turn soldiers into teachers is a good one.
Unfortunately, as Reverend Gravius has feared, some of the soldiers who volunteer to become teachers are more interested in drinking than in helping to instruct the Aborigines.
Bah! That's the last of the arrack. These jars are too small.
You've had too much already. But look at Samuel Minns. He's fallen asleep, dead drunk as usual. You won't mind if we take his share?
I will mind, you scoundrel, stealing a man's drink.
Are you calling me a thief?
A thief? Yes, you're a disgrace to your uniform. A worse rogue than Corporal Sprusman.
Hush, speak of the devil, here comes the corporal now.
Quarreling again, lads. Here, have some more arrack. Will that soothe your tempers?
Aye, it will. Good health to you, corporal.
I expect you're wondering why I've got so much arrack I can give it away.
You've always been a generous one, Corporal. Share and share alike.
I'll tell you. Enjoy being soldiers, do you, lads? No, of course you don't. It's all right, you can trust me. How'd you like to be teachers?
My ma, God rest her soul, always said I should be a teacher. She wanted me to learn to read, but Pa wouldn't hear of it. He sent me out to work. Then when Ma died, I ran away and joined the company.
You don't need to be able to read, lads.
What good's a teacher that can't read?
You can speak, can't you? That's good enough for these savages. And a teacher leads an easy life. More pay, no more officers to worry about. You can drink all day if you want. And you get to teach all the young native girls.
They'll never let us be teachers when they find out we can't read.
Maybe you can't read, but I can. Take a look at this.
What is it?
The reverends give the same test to all the new teachers. This is the test. I'll tell you what it says. You learn it properly. Make sure you remember it now. Then when they ask you to read it, you just say the words and pretend to be reading.
But I'd be too nervous.
No, it's not right to trick people like that.
If they caught us, we'd be in big trouble.
You'd be in big trouble with me if you don't. Look, they made me a teacher already. Anyone can do it. And now you get a bonus for every soldier who volunteers. Come on, lads. Have some more rack. Let's drink to our new careers.
Here's to Corporal Sprosman.
Drink up, lads.
Arr!
Several weeks later, in the council chambers at Castle Zealandia, Governor Peter Overtwater reviews the state of the colony with the new chief merchant, Cornelius Caesar.
Well, trade seems certainly thriving, Cornelius, but I remain concerned about the schools. Morale seems to be low. I know that many of the missionaries are still upset that the company didn't send us a printing press.
Governor, the company could hardly have sent us a printing press here in Formosa while they still have no press even in Batavia.
But the need here is so much greater.
It would have been premature.
Well, very well. Then, let's discuss this new company's scheme of turning soldiers into teachers. Now, I know that this is your own idea, Cornelius, and yes, a fine idea it is too. But is it necessary to apply military discipline even after these men have become teachers?
Soldiers understand discipline, Governor. And these men are still soldiers at heart.
Indeed, their behavior is at times appalling. But for the native children to see one of their teachers broken on the wheel for drunkenness, it is within the law, of course, but it seems so harsh.
Such punishments are necessary to encourage the others.
And that fellow, Sprosman, beheaded by a native chief for... Oh.
Corporal Sprosman was beheaded by Chief Sabuko from Pangsoya for misconduct.
Misconduct? Yes, I dare say he deserved it too. But for a native to execute a white man and a teacher at that... Oh, we must take care that this does not become a habit. It would be most... impolitic.
I agree with you, of course, Governor.
Good. And so, to make sure this does not happen again, I propose that from now on, for the teachers, we resort only to milder punishments, floggings, imprisonments, and so on.
For some of the men, that might work. For others... And the natives must not be allowed to interpret this clemency as weakness.
I've thought of that. And that's why this year's Landdag ceremony will be more impressive than ever. In addition to the usual banquet, I'm arranging a spectacle that will overwhelm the native chiefs with our power. With cannon, 21-gun salutes, marching soldiers, my own personal harbideers, and yes, a public execution. That Chinese pirate, Tua Khan, they call him the Scourge. Can you catch that fellow?
Yes, of course, in time.
You have 2 months. In a few weeks, we'll make a tour of the schools, and then, after the school inspections, the Landdag will demonstrate our absolute authority to the people of this country.
The soldier Sam Minns has meanwhile managed to become a teacher and has been assigned to the school at Tavakan under Mr. Anthony Hambrook. Despite this opportunity, and despite his best intentions, Minns is still an habitual drunkard. But luckily for him, he becomes one of the first to benefit from the governor's new policy of clemency. After spending only a few days in jail, he is now back at the school in time for the annual inspection tour. Just before dawn, Hambrook finds Minns sleeping in the schoolroom and urges him to get ready for the day's classes.
Sam, get up, please. It's nearly 4 a.m. The village elders and men will soon be here for class. Remember, the governor's inspection.
Governor Overtwater's here? Give me books, paper, and goose feather quills. on my head.
Oh, Sam, you should be ashamed. How could you go back on your promise to the court? You said you wanted another chance to do well as a teacher, and already you've started drinking again. God forgive you.
I'm sorry, Governor. I swear, I'll never... Ah, no, you're not the governor.
Think about how I feel. This is my first inspection. Can't you show some consideration for what I did to keep you out of the jailhouse?
And Peter wept.
You've read the gospel, Sam. You're a good man at heart, but you must try harder.
I will, Mr. Hembrook. From now on, I swear I will.
Very well. One last chance. You can arrange the school clothes for the children who come at 9 this morning. I'll take the catechism class for the men for now. Have some breakfast and tidy yourself up, and then come back for the children's classes. Governor Overtwater and the chief merchant will be here by then.
You can rely on me, Mr. Hembrook.
I hope so, Sam. Don't forget, be back here at 9 o'clock sharp.
Just then, Tariha, one of the leaders of the men's class, appears in the doorway.
Teacher, 100 village men came to learn the catechism today.
You're a fine recruiter, Tariha. Bring them in. Men of Tavakan, you have come to study the words from the God of Heaven. Let's begin with our morning prayer. Kneel down before the one true God. You may lead us in prayer, Tariha.
O God, who dwellest in heaven, thou art the only true God. Thou created heaven and earth, the sea, and all therein. I praise thy name, that thou hast guarded and kept me during the night, and that thou hast kept far away from me all murderers, thieves, and incendiaries. Amen.
Well done, Tariha. I want you to be our prayer leader when the governor comes later.
Yes, teacher.
The schoolroom is very tidy, with rows of simple wooden desks and benches. Neatly arranged on every desk is a new ABC primer, a piece of paper, a quill, and an inkwell. Boys and girls are taught separately, and today it's the turn of the young male scholars. All the children are wearing white Dutch shirts, knee breeches, and wooden Dutch shoes. Governor Overtwater and Chief Merchant Caesar observe as Teacher Humbrook begins the lesson.
Tariha, would you begin with prayer?
Scholars, kneel. Mighty and glorious God of Heaven, thank you for bringing the Dutch governor to our school. The governor has now come to us personally as an everlasting memorial that we have cast away our idols and pledged to attend school regularly to be instructed by our venerable teachers in the true doctrine of Jesus Christ. May the true God protect his governorship from fever and pirates forever. Amen.
Governor, would you like to test Tarihe on his catechism?
That was a sincere and fluent prayer. Can you answer me, Tarihe? Why do we say amen at the end of our prayers?
Sir, it is as much as to say, God hears my words. I'm sure that the God of Heaven hears my words, even though the enemy war drums are very loud, or the shouts of the Enibs shatter the peace of my village, or my language is broken. He hears my heart.
Excellent reply. Must we say amen, Tarihe?
Yes, we ought to, because the true God is pleased when his children say amen.
Thank you, Tarihe. Scholars, prepare to recite your new Dutch language lesson. Open your books and repeat after me. Dirk, where are you going in such a hurry?
Dirk, where are you going in such a hurry?
I'm going to school.
I'm going to school.
Why do we study? Why do we study? Gered.
Very good, Garrett.
But tell me, Hambrook, those two empty places at the back, do some of the children have a problem with tardiness?
You're right, Governor. Jan and Pieter. Late today of all days. They'd better have a good excuse.
Pieter, wake up, hurry. Ja, I did not hear a squaw.
What of those children outside, under the trees?
Governor, I'm afraid there are still some children who don't attend our classes.
They seem to be arguing.
Come play with us here in the dust. Oh.
Sir, I want to learn.
Will you be my teacher?
Child, this fills my heart. If you play your part, you are very welcome.
This fills my heart. If you play your part, you are very welcome. This fills my heart. If you play your part, you are very welcome.
Splendid, Hambrook. I'm very impressed.
Thank you, Governor.
What do you think, Cornelius?
Yes, indeed, Governor. Very impressive. This shows how much can be achieved with the assistance of the new teachers recruited from among the soldiers.
A clear night on the beach of Sakam near Castle Zealandia. On one side of an impressive ceremonial square, a raised pavilion has been prepared for Governor Overtwater, his halberdiers, and the VOC Council. Before the pavilion are long rows of tables for the village delegates. The governor leads the procession into the square. 300 village chiefs bring up the rear. Reverends Gravius and Vertrecht watch from their table near the pavilion.
How strange to see the village elders dressed in long black Dutch robes. They almost look like papists.
Oh dear, Daniel, look. Some of them have forgotten to bring their staffs of office for the ceremonial exchange.
Perhaps they haven't forgotten, Jacob. Some of them are reluctant to pass on their staffs to their successors.
Ha, but why?
They don't understand that the staff is only a symbol of Dutch authority. They think the staff itself is powerful, like a magic wand. Some of the natives even think that the silver VOC insignia will protect them from disease.
How can they believe that, when all our earthly power, all these Dutch flags, all this spectacle, all this pomp and ceremony does nothing to cure my wife's sickness?
I'm sorry, Jacob. How tactless of me to remind you. We all pray for her recovery.
Thank you, Daniel. But she grows weaker every day. If she dies, I should not be here. I should go to her.
No, Jacob, not now. The governor is approaching. Stand now and bow to him. Later, after the executions, you'll have a chance to slip away.
After Governor Overtwater takes his seat in the pavilion, soldiers bring out the convicted pirate Twakan for public execution. Twakan has been sentenced to be broken on the wheel.
Poor, poor fellow.
It's hard to feel pity. Before we caught him, the man incited the northern villages to rebel. And with his own hands, he murdered many poor Chinese farmers and two of our own Dutch traders. He was cunning, too, using the village waterways to trade illegally in deer skins. It took chief merchant Caesar and his native scouts weeks to track him down.
Oh, he's paying now for his sins.
Tuakan's body is cut down and taken away. Next, the soldiers bring out Sam Minns and some other prisoners. These men have all been sentenced to a public flogging.
No, I'll never touch another drop. I swear.
Daniel, I can stand this no longer. Is the world not full enough already of suffering? My wife needs me. Please make my excuses to the governor.
After Reverend Vertrecht slips away and the floggings have come to an end, Governor Overtwater stands to deliver his annual Landdag address.
Subjects of the Netherlands, today I will install the new VOC representatives in each village. Each retiring representative must return his staff of office. This is no disgrace. It is the Dutch way of passing on authority from year to the next worthy candidate. And all retiring officers have our deepest gratitude for their good service to the company and their loyalty to the flag of the fatherland. To the new officers, I remind you that it is your duty to protect the interests of the Dutch, who are your protectors. I encourage you to be vigilant in the pursuit of illegal Chinese who hunt without company passes. And to please me, your Dutch father, you must give up drunkenness, lewdness, and moving from village to village. Furthermore, you must cover your naked bodies and dress as civilized people in the name of the true God. Now, I will receive the tributes from each village and officiate the exchange of staffs.
Calamity struck Formosa in 1653. Outbreaks of malaria and measles followed one after another, killing thousands of Aborigines and almost wiping out the Dutch colonialists who lived among them, until the cemetery outside Zeelandia Castle was filled to overflowing. One morning, Anthony Humbrook, the last surviving missionary, visits the cemetery with his family. Sam Minns is also present, chastened by his recent flogging at the Landag. They sadly contemplate the graves of Hans Olhoff and Daniel Gravius.
Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it.
Amen.
Reverends Olaf and Gravius were still young men, not even married. At least they didn't leave behind more fatherless children. Anthony, how can we stay here?
How can we leave? For 30 years the gospel has been preached in this place. 1,000 marriages, 1,000 books, 6,000 baptized.
1,000 graves. Look at them. Rows of little white crosses, one for each life lost on these shores far from home.
We spend our strength in the dust. Robert Junius wrote that when he heard that we were denied a printing press.
Father, this cross bears the name of Reverend Junius's wife.
I don't want our names to be written here.
She died 10 years ago today.
Ugh, something hit me.
What, son?
What kind of insect is this? It blew right into my eyes.
Mother, help!
Susanna! Martin!
I can't see!
The air is thick with them!
Locust, cover your heads!
A plague of locusts!
Anthony, where are you?
Take my hand, stay together.
A miracle! Oh, Lord, forgive me, I repent. Truly, I repent.
Oh, I can't breathe!
Martin, don't let go of your sister's hand.
Sister, wrap this coat around you.
Hambrook! Hambrook! Over here!
Governor, what's happening?
Locusts. A huge cloud of them fell from the sky like a blizzard.
It's a miracle, Governor. And so is the hour of our way.
Hurry, come inside the gate.
Anthony, Sam's right. It's a sign from God.
Mother, don't cry.
Are we going to die?
Hush, children. Go with Governor Overwater.
Follow me, Mrs. Humber. Martin, Susanna, this way. We'll join the other families sheltered in the church. Pray God we'll be safe there.
Although the Aborigines burn mounds of locusts day and night, the never-ending swarms of insects invade the villages, contaminate wells, and destroy all the sugarcane and rice fields. Famine breaks out. Schools and churches on the island are abandoned.
Following these catastrophes, the Governor General and his VOC advisors in Batavia turned their attention away from religious instruction on Formosa towards civil administration and business. But as we'll hear in the next episode, this change in policy cannot save the Dutch from an even more serious threat, the threat of war.
Thank you for joining us for Pax Hollandia, part 3 in the series Tales of Dutch Formosa. The part of Reverend H. Jessie was played by Morris Harrington. Lady Mayern was Al Payne. Mrs. Cresset was Katie Housen. Reverend Jacob Vertrecht was Bernard Paul. Reverend Daniel Gravius was Edmund Ryden. Soldier 1 was Norman Zabo. Soldier 2 was Edmund Ryden. Sam Minns was Liam Thompson. Corporal Sprosman was Scott Strange. Governor Peter Overtwater was Don Gilliland. Chief Merchant Cornelius Caesar was Norman Szabo. Anthony Hombrook was Tim Yates. Tarihe was Ken Lee. The Native Scholars Chorus was made up of Sherry Lee, Melissa Chu, Christine Lin, Jay Chang, Janice Xie, Jimmy Xie, Ken Chen, Alice Liu, and Kathy Hong. Mrs. Hombrook was Barbara Yates. Susanna Hombrook was Natalie Yates. Martin Hombrook was Jonathan Yates. The diary voice was read by Andrew Ryan. The conclusion by Lynn Scott. Pax Hollandia was written by Lynn Scott and Norman Szabo, directed by Lynn Scott, and produced and engineered by Andrew Ryan. The composer of the scholar's music was Philip Shea. The pianist was series music consultant Alan Wu.
And that was the final part of our docudrama, Tales of Dutch Formosa, something that we broadcast every year at the same time. And we will have a little bit more on that, actually, on next week's program, and I'll tell you about that, well, actually next week. But anyway, now let's see, because we still have a few minutes before we go. So I just want to remind you again that this, of course, is the time of year when a lot of people take vacations around the world. And, of course, there's no difference here at PCJ Radio International. So some of our programs are going to be going into holiday mode for the next few weeks, about 3-4 weeks. The only things that will be continuing as normal, of course, is our newsroom. And depending on where you live, you can hear PCJ Radio International News. So those will continue as normal. But other programs, of course, there'll be some changes happening. Even this program, my summer holiday this year is not really a summer holiday in the normal sense of the word, because I am going to be working on something else. So you can say that it's a holiday, but not a holiday, you know. So a little bit hectic, trying to get things out of the way and pre-record them and everything. But I think that we managed to do it. I think that we managed to do it. I hope we managed to do it. I remember one year, this is a number of years ago, and I was actually beginning a holiday, and I don't know what I was thinking, or I should say I wasn't thinking, because I had thought that I had recorded everything before I went away. And then 24 hours before I was about to leave, somebody in our control room said, Keith, where are the programs for when you're gone for 2 weeks, 3 weeks? And I went, and it just came back to me that I hadn't recorded them. What I had done is I'd prepared them and made notes and everything, but forgot to do everything else, you know. So this time I think that I hope that I managed to get it done. And I think I did. I think I did. So let's just recap again. Next week's program is a continuation of our summer series. What we will have, well, you'll just have to tune in. That's on July the 22nd. The program of July 29th is going to be another one of our anniversary specials for the 90th anniversary that we have coming up in the month of November. And then another program in our summer series for August 5th. Actually, the whole month of August as well. And one of them is going to be very, very special indeed, because it was something that was recommended to us a couple of years ago. And it has taken some time to even locate it. And we just by accident happened to have located it this past week. So we decided to schedule it in the month of August. So do please tune in, because I can't give you too, I don't want to say too much, except as you know, well, let me try to say it without saying it. As you know, those who have listened to this program on a regular basis know that we have brought you dramas from time to time. I mean, we just today finished the final part of our docudrama series, Tales of Dutch Formosa, but we actually have brought other things before in the past. This is a very interesting one, because I know that there are a lot of fans of this out there, and people that may have heard of it maybe were not a fan, but didn't realize that it actually is very well done and could be a fan after hearing it, which I absolutely said nothing at all, which is my intention, which actually was my intention, to not let the cat out of the bag, or in my case, the cats out of the bag. Anyway, we're going to leave you today with the Gypsy Kings and Bomboleo. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Perrault wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, a wiedersehen, adios amigos, and of course, sayonara.
Ese amor llega sin esta manera. No tiene la culpa, caballo le dan sabana, porque muy despreciado. Por eso no te perdono llorar. Ese amor llega así, esta manera. No tiene la culpa, amor de compraventa, amor del de pasado. Ven, 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 ven. Perdón de Dios, tú eres mi vida, la fortuna del destino. El destino te ha desamparado, lo mismo ya callé, lo mismo soy yo. No te encuentro alabando, eres posible, no te encuentro de verdad. Por eso un día no cuento si de nada, lo mismo ya callé, lo pienso en ti. Bamboleo, bamboleo, porque mi vida yo la prefiero vivir así. Bamboleo, bamboleo, porque mi vida yo la prefiero vivir así. Bamboleo, bamboleo, porque mi vida yo la aprendí a vivir así. Bamboleo.